This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
He's got that flair about him. When his name's announced, the place erupts all the time, but he's always in the middle of something good.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
And then Cliff and Shelley, the Penguins. I mean, all this stuff, the Penguins, like, pooped all over. They poop every 15 minutes, apparently. That's what Penguins do. All over the brand-new rug on the other side. It was kind of fun to watch.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
We love talking with Joe. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. The manager of your Chicago Cubs is now here on The Score. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Cubs Joe Mad. Joe, how are you today?
I'm well, and good morning. And first of all, congratulations. I heard about your graduation.
Oh man! Now they're just like they're giving you all the info.
Well, that's pretty cool stuff now because I never actually graduated. I eventually got my honorary degree from Lafayette. I'm a doctor of letters, and I respect what you did so much. So I just wanted to start off by saying congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice. I really enjoyed my time at Alabama, and now I have to figure out. My wife told me that I can't. You probably deal with Jay this way. Like, you do so much that they have to manage us sometimes and say, look, you're not doing anything for a while, and that's exactly what my wife has done.
Oh, please. It's the off season, obviously. I try to give her first dibs, whatever she wants to do. Last year, was our 10th anniversary, went to Europe. We haven't decided yet this year, but of course, in the off season, she's with me most of the way, whatever we're doing, whether, the foundational stuff or taking our trips. So I totally get it.
We were treated to some fantastic food from your place, Joe.
Cool.
Madden's
cool.
Post over on Waveland, right off of Racine, dropped off pizza and pierogies today. Thank you very much. How did you decide on what you wanted this place to be?
Well, just took a while. We got together, and of course, once Tony Mantuano came on board from Spiaggia, James Beard Award winner. I don't know if you know Tony at all, but this is the most normal guy in the world, and he just happens to be very talented. So I meet Tony, comes back to Pennsylvania with the design team. Mike Kozlowski, majority owner of the restaurant, and Michael Stewart, my buddy from Tampa. And I take him around town in my station wagon in Hazleton. We drove around to Bellhops, Snaps. I think we took him to the Ovalon and eventually Bottlenecks and gave them a taste of the town. And what they wanted to do was somehow morph Hazleton into this restaurant and bring it to Chicago. And, of course, being Polack Italian from back in the day and still am, that resonated. Tony's line, which I love, I don't want to do shishito peppers another way. And when he said that, man, we were just totally on the same page. I don't think there's an Italian-Polish fusion restaurant out there anywhere. But beyond that, then we take it. We have some normal stuff. The whitefish is unbelievable. I haven't tried the steak, the wings, the city chicken, all this stuff. So you got Tony's influence, and now Aaron Theobald is our head chef. Aaron had been at the Grill and the Goat, and he's so talented. I watch these guys together. The team is already up and running. I could go on and on, but having Tony as the lead bull right there is really what makes it all work.
If you want to check out Joe's place, it's called Madden's Post. It's located at 1119 West Waveland. For more information on the website, maddenspost.com. Again, that's maddenspost.com. So beyond being a baseball manager, a restaurateur, you're also doing Skypes with schools. Did you Skype with North River School today?
We did. It was outstanding. I think, what were they? They were a 13-year-old, 7th, 8th graders, I think, 6th, 7th, maybe, in that middle school kind of place. Outstanding. Great questions once again. I really like doing this. This is my second one. I have another one on Thursday. I mean, that was my second one this season. I'm trying to get this out there. I want to call it Outer Skype, and I want to get more people involved. I mean, players, coaches, managers, whatever, just like I did this morning. I took a half hour this morning, Skype the class. You infiltrate the class with the Cubs and your personal philosophies. You're trying to sell the game of baseball to youth. I really don't understand why we don't take advantage of technology more as MLB to do this kind of stuff. It's so simple. And just imagine if Anthony or KB or whomever, Stropey, did a class for a half hour in the morning, all these kids immediately become not only Cub fans, but they're Strope fans or whatever. If every team took this path, I there could be such a tremendous impact made educationally among the kids in classrooms on a daily basis. There's 25-man roster. There's coaches. There's managers. You could plug one in a day all over the country. So I'm going to get this out there one way or another, but I'd like to call it Outer Skype, and it was a great day for us.
Well, the cool thing about MLB is that they seem to be on the forefront of technology of the major sports. So I think that you probably are going to hit them with something that they're ready and able to do. I hope it works out.
Well, I've been after it for a couple of years now, and I've given written proposals. I've talked to people there, and I'm still. I just don't understand why it can't become more popular. Again, I'm not worried about the game being 3 minutes, 3 hours, and 5 minutes, or 3:10. I'm worried about talking to kids. And if you get kids, and I even told them today, listen, it's not about you playing. And we're talking to the ladies too. And one of the questions was about girls in baseball. I said, hey, you have to make a penny out of this. It's not about making money. It's about the teamwork. It's about the self-discipline, the self-esteem derived. These are the things you're trying to get accomplished. And of course, with analytics, our game so morphs into the math class. And the math teacher was there today too. There's so much to be done if we could just interact in a way that that gets more kids interested in homeroom. Can you imagine going to homeroom in the morning and setting your lineup? Be outstanding.
I think it would be great. It'd be a lot of fun. This hour is being brought to you by Arlington International Race Course. Joe, this weekend there was a big celebration of moms, obviously with Mother's Day. I saw Wilson Contreras did a really cool thing on his Twitter feed. I'd love to know, and maybe it's in what we're seeing with you opening up the restaurant. What's something that you learned from Beanie that you love to share with other people?
Oh gosh. Well, first of all, Beanie. Beanie is the kind of mom, a woman that attracts others in the sense that you want to be in her company. She's entertaining. She's open. She's unplugged all the time. I think I get some of that from her. I think I get a lot of that from her. My mom started out, she got married when she was 20. Grew up on the same block. She lived in the same block almost her entire life until she recently moved down with my sister in the Valley. So it's this this openness, this frankness, this method that she interacts with other people that draws people to her. And I got patience from my dad. I think I got this from my mom. Plus, she's a little feisty. You don't mess with Beanie. So all this stuff, just watching her growing up and how she attended to me and Carmine and my brother Mark, she's a very impressive woman.
Right now, your team, after starting 1-6, has gone 23-8 and now finds itself 24-14. When things are going well, what things do you like to share with the players?
Well, I like to stay out of their way, primarily. I like to share less, if that makes any sense. What I'm doing right now, I just watch, I just monitor, I feel. I believe in feel. I know a lot of people don't understand that, but I just got to get a sense or feel of the day. And just see how they're reacting, see if the energy's there, if the enthusiasm is there, how they're interacting with one another. I'm feeling all that stuff. It's out of the way, and then I could do my job. I mean, my job is entirely different. And I've been managing and I've been coaching, so I've actually had more time, like I said, to dissect video and look at other things that I've pretty much stayed out of the way of in the past couple years. So if anything, I'm staying out of the way as much as I can. While I'm doing that, I'm coaching more in a sense where I'm watching. And if I have something to tell you, well, I'm not going to come up to you and attempt to influence you just because I want the player to say, well, geez, Joe said something to me. No, I stay out of the way until I feel it's absolutely necessary. So I want to be armed with information just in case it pops. And that's where I'm at right now.
Is it easier to teach in moments when things are going really well? Are players more receptive to it?
No. It's when things are going badly. When things are going well, guys normally need to be, like I'm saying, need to be left alone. If you really want to elicit change with the player, and if things are going well, and he thinks he's going okay, it's not going to happen. You got failure is the right time to step in when things aren't going well. That might sound counterproductive. I mean, right now it's about encouragement and staying positive and, you know, that kind of stuff. But more recently, when things weren't going well for some of the guys, that's when they need you. They don't need you as much when things are going well. And so I really try to, again, keep my finger on the pulse and interject myself when I think it's necessary.
How satisfying is it for you to see KB find his game?
Beautiful thing, man. And I tell you, his confidence is soaring right now. You saw the plays at first base. Just threw him a first baseman's glove the other day. Hadn't even taken any ground balls, and he did a wonderful job. It's really interesting to watch. And I'll tell you, one of the funnest things on the field is when he's on first and the ball gets hit in the gap, watch him score. This fella really runs the bases. He cuts the corner so well. It's in his head because he's scoring for the team, but he's also scoring for the guy that hit the ball. He wants to give them that RBI. He does so many things well on the baseball field, and everybody's always worried about his hitting. I told him recently, I said, KB, just do something to help us win today because you can do it in so many other ways. I want him to focus on that and not just getting hits because he is a complete baseball player.
In his last couple of starts, John Lester, I've noticed in some innings where the defense wasn't great behind him that he was able to pitch over that. What goes into a guy being able to pitch over defensive mistakes, especially Lester?
Isn't it obvious with him? He wants to pick the guy up. He really wants to pick the guy up. And the best way I could describe it, man, he slows things down even more. I'll watch him. He get behind the mound. He'll get the ball back. He does that little thing where he rubs it, and he walks back to the mound slowly with a head down. He rubs the ball, and he'll kind of kick that thing in the back to get the mud off his shoes, and he gets ready to go back on the mound. When he gets into that pace, I love it, because I know he's going to make a quality pitch. So he's there for his teammates all the time. I love the little banner he's got going on with Riz and some of the other guys regarding some of the defensive gaffes. Johnny's just taking his whole career to another level. He's in great shape physically and mentally, and he's one of the best teammates you'll ever have.
It's kind of amazing for a guy at this point with so many innings, so much postseason experience, and his age to be doing what he's doing. He's having his best year as we start out through the first, 48 innings or so that he's pitched. How is he doing it?
It's motivation and competition. And part of his mind, he has to realize that it's not going to go on forever, and he loves to compete. He is an absolute competitor. So he's that, and I think he's just really learned his craft so well. All the years that he's gotten to this point, he continues to learn. He continues to try to do better at what he's done in the past. So it's a competitive thing. It's a learning thing. And he really, I think he's having a blast right now, actually, too. There's, I guess you could, we all mature as we move it along, but I just think John has grown up so much over the last couple of years. That you're seeing right now is a culmination of so many different moments he's been through, and now he's processing it as perfectly as you can.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. We talk with Joe every Tuesday at noon, so know that if you miss Joe this week, he'll be back next week, but we still got a little bit more time with Joe. So, what's been Tommy Hotovy's influence on Tyler Chatwood?
Well, I mean, Tommy's been a big supporter from the beginning of Tyler, even last year. He's always been there for him when things were rugged. Tommy, even though he was not the pitching coach, spends a lot of time with the pitchers through his analytical work. And just conversationally, Tommy is straightforward also. He is really sharp. He's not kind of sharp. He's really sharp. And he breaks things down well. So in the offseason, I know he was there lockstep with Tyler also, and they just figured out a couple things to try to simplify the delivery. And once they got on board with that, and then the ability to just point out really what works for him, this is what works for you, and again, cull things down. That's what he does, and he does it really well. He's a young man. I said it earlier this year, he's going to be one of the best pitching coaches in baseball in a very short period of time. He combines analytics. He combines the ability to teach physical mechanics. He combines the ability, great bedside manner, tremendous. And he's also a young man, but he's also going to call BS on some guys. He's not just going to stand up there and take it he's got a good way about him, and it's going to keep getting better.
What's happening with Chatwood? Is it more mechanical with him that things have calmed down in his delivery?
Yeah, it starts there, and then all of a sudden he's knowing where the ball is going, and then here comes the confidence. He might throw one out of kilter now and then, but he gets it back a lot more quickly now because he knows where to go to. He knows maybe what he had done wrong more readily, and I see it as getting better. It's going to continue to get better. By the end of the season, we're going to count on this guy for some huge outs. He's also very capable of starting it, too. That's not out of the context right now. It's possible. For right now, the opening's not there, so we got to keep him kind of stretched out in pitching because the stuff plays up so big in short spurts.
Yu Darvish had said that he feels like he needs to do more, that he needs to go six or seven innings when he goes out there. You said that you're trying to help him get into sixth gear. When I've been dying to ask you this all week. When you have a guy like Darvish who's got so many pitches in his arsenal, do you try to have him do less? Because I know that's your thing, that you say you want guys to do less. Do you try and pare down and say, you know what, maybe let's go with just the four-seamer today. Don't worry about the two-seamer. What's your approach with him?
With him, there's certain days the four-seamer is the better pitch. Certain days the two-seamer is the better pitch. The slider cutter, he's got a good curveball. You're right, he's got so much to draw from. I pretty much stayed out of this when it comes to that because I really wanted Tommy and to nail it down with Mike Borzello. And I have my opinions, and I throw them at Tommy. I don't want to confuse you by jumping in there with all this stuff going on. I like all of his stuff. I had a pitcher, Kelvin Escobar, a couple years ago with the Angels, and Esky was a five-pitch guy, and also Jeff Niemann with the Rays. I've never seen guys with that many above-average to good quality pitches, Escobar and Niemann. And here we got Yu Darvish. So I know it can be done, and both those guys had great command. It's in there, man. It's in there. We just need this the epiphany moment where everything just locks in mentally, and then it's just going to take off. You just stay with it. As long as this man's healthy, we're staying with him because this stuff is that good.
How's Addison adjusting to being back?
Wonderfully. He's taken to his role. He stays ready during the game. He's always ready. If he's not starting, he walks around the dugout. He's getting ready. He realizes it might be a pinch hit. He knows it might be a double switch defense. He's been great. His work's been outstanding. We just need to get him back up to speed. You can see at the plate, he's still not there yet, but he looks wonderful on defense. So I give him a lot of credit. He still knows it's everything is a work in progress, and he's handling every situation that way. He's really maturing in the dugout and among the group. So I like a lot of what I'm seeing.
I haven't had a chance to really talk a lot about Wilson Contreras to you because we've talked about KB and Riz and everyone else. This guy's having a phenomenal season, and he rededicated himself in the offseason. From your perspective, why is he having such success?
Well, he also has simplified his hitting mechanics. That's the hitting side of things. It's much more if you remember a couple years ago, he was like tearing it up and he got hurt towards the end of the season. He could have had 100 RBIs and almost 30 home runs. He was going that good. And then he got away from some stuff and now he's back into it. This spring training, he really rededicated to the batting style that he had incorporated. So that's A. B, this guy is so locked into his pitchers and his defense. I see him privy. I hear the conversations between him and Borzy in between innings. And, he's so into it. So wonderful student. He knows he's there as a catcher first. He knows he's there for his pitchers first. But yeah, quite frankly, when he's not hitting up to his capabilities, it does bother him. So the hitting's going on right now makes all this other stuff a bit easier. He's controlling his emotions better. He's getting back in the moment sooner. I really anticipate it'll continue.
All right. So Joe, I got some fun questions for you.
What do you got?
I was thinking about this over the weekend because it happened to me. When you're watching TV and a movie comes on that you've seen a bunch of times, what's the movie that you will watch till the end, even though you've seen it a million times?
There's probably, I would say, two I can think of quickly. That would be The Godfather, number one. And Bull Durham, number two, because the Bull Durham is, I could really relate to that story a lot. So I would say those two. If it's whatever reason, you could just go and pop it on your iTunes, whatever, on TV, Apple TV, and play without commercials. But for whatever reason, you endure the commercials.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I believe the phenomenon is called being Shawshanked, because Shawshank Redemption is one of those movies that people usually go to. It is unbelievable, especially you're so right about it. It can be on TV with commercials and you'll watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I surprised myself.
The other question, this was actually thrown by one of the beat guys. So ask Joe about this. Would you go donut or bagel?
I love bagels and cream cheese, but I'm a little bit lactose intolerant, and that bums me out. I love cinnamon raisin toasted bagel with globs of cream cheese on it. I absolutely love that. But then again, it's hard to beat a Krispy Kreme donut, too. So, God, that is an absolute toss-up.
Well, the other part of this question was, when you're trying to be good, when you're working out, mm-hmm. you're feeling good, you're looking great, you got your dig me look going on.
Yep.
What's the food that will derail that for you if you walk past it or see it?
That's a heavy carb thing. I mean, probably one of my favorite things in the world is just like a big old lasagna, or just a heaping pile of penne pasta with something in it. I mean, I try to avoid, globs of that stuff as a kid growing up. That's all. And mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. That being Polish, my mom made that almost every night, mashed potatoes with corn. That was a staple for Beanie. My dad loved it too. So just walk away from that stuff if you can.
Well, it's hard to do that for sure.
Possibly, yes.
Joe, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Yet again, it's awesome. And Madden's Post, go check out Joe's place. 1119 West Waveland, maddenspost.com. If you want to get yourself some pierogies or some pizza, you can't stop. You're going to walk by and you're going to have it. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, check out the second floor. The Flamingo Room is outstanding for private events, too. Check it out.
All right. I will do that. That is Joe Madden. See you next week,
Joe. See you, buddy. Thanks.
That's Joe Madden.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.